Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
And I am now an official friend of the podcast.
God damn it. What have we done?
And this week, we've watched Oasis. And now we're going to argue about whether it's going to make us quit Star Trek.
I just occurred to me that I hadn't really actually thought of anything I was going to say in this moment. It was a weird nothing episode, but you know, I enjoyed seeing Trip's face.
It's a nothing episode for like a week before the storm breaks. You know, Stranger Worlds comes out in a week. I just finished my degree. And we brought back official friend of the podcast, menace to civil society, Terry. And Terry has brought us this.
Well, it's actually my second choice because Olivia shot mine down. Yeah,
you want to do Nemesis, Terry. I don't have time to watch Nemesis. Even if I did have time to watch Nemesis, I don't want to watch Nemesis.
I would be down to watch Nemesis if I had the time.
We're going to do it, Terry. I am working on a Patreon. And when we do the Patreon, you can come on and do Nemesis.
Hooray!
You'll be exclusive content, even better.
You're optional. That's even better for society.
Only tells.
But this is...
Right, okay. The thing is...
Explain yourself, young man.
Right, okay. So, yeah, first season of Enterprise, which I think in general is a lot better than what many people give credit for. It starts off really well for, like, the first, I don't know, 12, 15 episodes.
Sorry, the fourth episode of Enterprise is unexpected, Terry.
That was high art.
Kind of. Fine.
I didn't mind it. I like that one. Florida man gets pregnant. But, so we get to the first 15 episodes, and it's actually quite decent track. Then it is very clear the show hits a wall. You know, I don't know if the production's just been burnt out or whatnot. And you can see a steady decline in the stories. There's still, in the first season, there's still a couple of, one or two episodes, which is actually quite decent. But generally, it just ranges from bad to meh.
I'm looking here at the list of episodes, and I actually think I know what the point where they ran out of ideas is.
Is it the Ferengi one?
In season one, it's Shufflepod one.
That's a good one, though. I like that.
No, but that's the last good one.
Oh, sorry. I beg your pardon.
Yeah, for Shufflepod
there's a couple. Yeah, no, okay, fair. There's a couple of decent ones towards the end. The one with the Vulcan ambassador, I think, is actually decent. The one where they're trapped on a desert planet, I think, is actually all right.
Oh, but yeah. Is that the one where we get to see Trip and Archer shirtless? Yeah, that's a great episode. Correct. I'm sorry, so much of the series is saved by me just looking at Trip's face and other areas.
He is in this a lot. He is in this episode a lot, as like, is René Auberjonois for some reason.
I mean, I think it was both Voyager and Enterprise in those early seasons. I get bored about 75% of the way through.
Yeah.
Just losing.
And this is actually a problem, especially with early Enterprise specifically. And this episode and the ones following it really show things that are to come, especially in the second season. Second season, it actually starts off very well and it ends very well. You know, you've got a run at the beginning of the season of about six episodes, and you've got about six episodes at the end of the second season, which are all good to great. Then you have this massive, massive run of 12, 15 episodes where it ranges from meh to bad.
Nothing in the Expanse is good.
How can I put it?
See, if Enterprise was a bit more camp, it would at least be saved by being funny or absurd, but it sort of just flopped when it went downhill.
Yeah, when it went downhill, it really... And the second... I think it was... The viewing figures, it really dropped in that second season. Although I still think it could have been saved. I genuinely believe that if Nemesis hadn't bombed the way it did, they would have kept Enterprise around while they were making a new movie just to fly the flag for Star Trek. But, you know, that never happened.
I don't remember Nemesis being this bad, but you said that it almost destroyed the fandom.
Nemesis. Yeah, I can't work out if Nemesis... I feel like Nemesis was bad just because it didn't... It was nothing of consequence. It kind of has nothing to say.
All I remember is little mini-me Picard having a nice time.
He brain touches Deanna Troi.
Okay. Well, that happens every week in TNG, so it's tradition.
Ah, it's so depressing.
Shall we get to it?
Well, the thing about this episode, just in general, that I watched it, I was taking notes on it, and there are not that many notes. It is basically white noise the show, if you know what I mean.
Very little happens.
Yeah, and compounded with the fact that, you know, we've already seen this episode before, and, you know, you don't need to be a Star Trek fan. You don't need to be a history film fan to know that this was basically the same plot from a DS9 episode.
It's just... There's some fun weird bits, like watching two white men stumble over spices at the beginning. That's...
Right.
That's quite fun.
That's great. They've been introduced to a seasoning that's beyond salt and pepper, and they're having a hard time. And you don't try and tell me Trip's from Florida, because I've seen that catfish that he gets, and he's so happy with it. It looks bland, it looks dry, it looks trash.
Right. Here's what I literally wrote. I can understand my own handwriting. Cool alien, more interesting than the entire episode.
In their guide. He was a funny little guy.
He's a funny dude.
Yeah, he's in his 2 minutes. I thought, yeah, he's actually interesting.
That's more interesting. The other thing, so he basically tells them, oh, there's a ship that might have parts, but it's haunted.
Yeah.
And so they go to the ship, and it is haunted. And you know what's more interesting here? The idea of T'Pol seeing ghosts and everyone else not seeing them.
It's because she is a queen. She is perceptive. She's better than these annoying men who constantly condescend her. I mean, even before that, she has a little moment where she says, oh, my courage doesn't need to be tested, to that guy at the beginning when he's like, you know, trying to insult her a bit. So that makes sense that she would see these things, that these men are just wasting their time.
Yeah. What if the episode had been her, she had seen the ghost, no one else had. They hadn't believed, well...
I would be so annoyed the entire time.
It would be
time.
Annoying, but it would be interesting, at least.
And it would track with the way they treat her for the first two seasons.
But instead, you know, we've Trip sees the ghost, they chase her into a bay full of plants, and then there are people with guns and Odo.
Oh, that's one thing. Those jackets that they were wearing, were they the only ones that they wore during the pilot?
They wore them in the pilot, and they wear the excursion jackets turn up a fair few times.
Yeah, but I swear it's another design throughout the rest of the show.
Hold on.
What, for DS9?
No, the silver jackets that they're wearing.
What were they wearing?
Hold on, I can check.
Hmm.
I'll use my memory alpha powers. There's two different ones.
Hmm.
The Paramount execs didn't like the quilting for some reason that no one understood.
I like those original jackets. They were right. The other ones were just much more plainer.
Yeah, they're a bit more like windbreakers.
Hmm.
I mean, in this moment, I was just traumatized having to see Odo again. And I know that it's Rene and he's a king, but I did not remember this and was not prepared.
Well, not just Rene, but also the Borg Queen.
Oh, yes. I didn't know this. Trip is flirting with the Borg Queen. This is literally my worst nightmare. This is my personal hell.
It's not even fruity.
Not even fruity.
Yeah, obviously, And that's the thing, you couldn't tell, you know, if nobody pointed that out, nobody would know. That's what he is, right? She'll be Her Majesty.
Brenda. Borg Brenda.
Well, Brenda, honestly, she's been one of the highlights of this season of Picard. I think she's been fantastic.
Oh, she has. She absolutely has.
I accept that she's been a highlight because I'm terrified of her and I hate her. So that's a success, of course.
They have kind of got some good villains now. They kind of got some good villains. You know, the Tarka, the Borg Queen. You know, I think...
Jurati, she's a villain. Her weakness makes her a villain.
She was a villain. You know, both seasons, her weakness has made her a villain. She's deeply unreliable.
She needs to go to therapy. You mind-melded with Jesus, a weird criminal because you were lonely. Go to therapy.
You know, when I was lonely, I just started a podcast, but... That works too. So they find these people who got their excuses. They got shot up by raiders. So they hid in the planet for 3 years. They don't really want to be helped, but then Archer's kind of too nice to say no to.
He's a nice guy.
He's an idiot, but he's a nice guy. Except for when he's not.
I forgot that in season one, he doesn't really have a personality. He's just sort of going with the flow of things.
He's just helpful.
Yeah. I mean, he seemed a bit inattentive. Like, this guy is saying all this suspicious stuff, failing to complete his sentences, and he's just like, yeah, let's go on a little trip. I know that's your job, but, you know, take notes.
Season one Archer is Tom Hanks in space.
That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said about Jonathan Archer. It is, though, isn't it?
I mean, people compliment him. Actually, let me not say that.
No, he's got the same personality in season one as somebody you work with, in the sense you've only worked with them, so they seem fine. You don't know they're actually like them.
What? On the weekend, they're a menace.
Are you saying that he watches videos of tractors in his spare time in his ready room?
Definitely.
He was just looking for a tractor called Dominator. It's fine. That's an actual excuse. A Tory MP said.
Wait, the tractor is called Dominator.
No, a Tory MP, a colleague of Neil Parrott. Okay, for our American listeners, a member of the British Parliament has been forced to resign because he was caught watching pornography in the House of Commons. His excuse was, I was actually Googling tractors and I accidentally clicked on porn. And then another colleague came to his defense and went, you see, it all makes sense because he was looking for a good tractor that was called the Dominator.
But bro, just use your eyes to see. Use your eyes to see.
Oh my gosh.
No, this has to be retroactive research. It's like, how the fuck do I get away with this?
It's so bad.
That's the UK update.
He could have at least said that he was looking for something to plow with.
Tory HQ is like, no, we can't say that. That's too close.
That would have been a great headline.
It's just, anyway.
Oh, God.
I feel like of the Star Trek characters, the most likely to be Googling tractors in a workplace is probably Ducat.
No, Geordi.
Oh, no. Actually, you're right, because I don't think Ducat is capable of sexual arousal, except when he's thinking about himself.
Yeah, Ducat looks in the mirror and has...
and then he has to go and sort himself out. I think Geordi would Google tractors actually wanting to look at tractors and then get in trouble.
Oh, God. you know he's probably thinking, I can bring Leia over to me quarters so we can look at the next John Dare and all that.
Oh, cursed.
So anyway, so they decide to help these guys, and Borg Queen lady, who wasn't talking at first, decides to talk and offer some food. And
okay, but let's not skip our tiny smidge of Travis content. Because Travis, at the beginning of this, is like every reasonable Black person when it comes to horror films. Why are you going in there? Why are we not asking more questions? Hey, what was that weird sound? Why was the hatch closed? Kind of suspicious. Like, no one pays attention to what he's saying. Anyway. Let's go to Trip's girlfriend.
Yeah, oh, it's just...
Oh, going to the Florida man flirting.
The best part of this is to Paul being like, watch yourself, the last time you flirted with an engineer, you got pregnant.
Unnecessary.
And then just being like, fuck you, you idiot.
Yeah, that
I'm not going to let you forget.
That was, yeah, that's another one of my notes, because it was the only other highlight of this episode, to Paul with an ultra burn on Trips.
That was so unnecessary. That was very mean to Paul. And that's kind of why I think I deserve him over you. So, yeah.
It's... And then she's like, tell me, do you have any women as friends, Trip?
She asks if he has any women callers. Like, what does he say? He's like, oh, I wish I had more attention. Something.
He said he's got plenty on Earth, but he doesn't speak to him. You know, that nod and a wink.
Well, I think he's not. He's like, I have plenty of female friends on Earth, but none who I'm, you know, shagging.
He's a chaste gentleman. And that's canon.
I mean, like, did you see, I think it went around earlier this week, Roddenberry's original pitch for the helmsman, for the navigator, as this basically, like, man who's light, whose job sucks and love life sucks. Like Jose Ortega's. His entire job is out to get him and he's sad and lonely. And I think that's the start. That is the archetype of so many Star Trek characters come from that man. And
it's giving Reed energy for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the text of whether or not Trip fucks is nebulous. They want us to think he does, but don't think he does.
I can't tell if he is just not as efficient as he thinks he is. Maybe he's not.
Explain efficient, Olivia.
You know, you'd think with the face to personality ratio, he'd be getting it on, but he's also annoying. Anyway. Is this where we find out that, like, all their secrets start unraveling? They haven't even made a distress call in, what, 3 years?
Yeah, because they want them to fix the computer core, and then Malcolm has his 10 minutes of usefulness in episode, and is like, the ship hasn't actually been damaged, and there's no way they can feed themselves with all that food. So we're going to have like a computer core, and, oh, they've been there for 22 years, and, oh, We found the dead body of somebody who's on that planet.
Yeah, who was that? It said Shalat. I thought
it's just
was
a
Odo.
Random extra.
I thought that was Odo, so I was so confused. I was like,
how did I? It makes it incredibly unclear who he is.
I believe it's the first when they first met all the holograms, it was the first one he talked, I think. But he was so like mangled up you couldn't really tell.
It looked like a dehydrated eel. That's
it also doesn't help that none of the holograms are very distinct from each other.
No.
So then
they're all just guys.
So this is why I spent the next 50 minutes being confused. But no, it's just a guy and his prisoner daughter, which is classic.
Yeah.
I could make a Fritzl joke, but I won't.
You're going to do it anyway. Make the joke.
All cancelable content from you will be kept in.
No, I'll keep the joke to the end. I've just had some really dark thoughts then. I will leave it to the end. Carry on.
Thank you, Terry. Please leave the thoughts to the end. Or never mention them, ever. It's up to you. Well,
so Paul ends up getting cornered by the rogue. What are they? Sims?
Let's call them Sims.
What was that?
Let's call them Sims.
Yeah. And I don't understand what he actually wants from them in the end. He says he just wants them to fix the relays and not give his daughter.
So what happens is that they capped up Paul, and when they try to get to Paul, the Sims kidnap Trip to fix everything. And basically at this point we now find out that they're all dead. They died years ago. They're all ghosts. And then they start shooting up Malcolm and Archer, who have at this point gone back to the ship, got some guns, and come back.
Most sensible thing they do in the episode.
Yeah, it is the most sensible. Well, you know, as I said, Malcolm's 10 minutes of usefulness.
What is Rennie's character's name?
Not Odo.
Oh, so, okay, it wasn't called Odo. So basically, I don't understand Odo's conviction to live. Ezra's conviction to live in one room for 22 years and continue that life when there are other options for him.
Yeah, well, it's just, I think he's scared. Well, it's weird.
Okay, well, bitch, wake up.
Well, he doesn't.
I'm sorry, but it's insanely selfish. He's like, Trip thinks I'm being selfish. You're being unbelievably selfish. Your daughter will never interrupt any other human being. She'll never have any options in her life. She'll be eating smudge or whatever the hell you're eating. Plants or whatever.
He can make her an Irish hologram. That's fine.
No, because that's why it would just get more awkward. He'd be like, well, she needs a lover. Let me program one. Like, it's just going to get creepier and creepier.
It's very strange because eventually she turns off all the ghosts in the middle of a gunfight and everything gets explained. And he's like, yeah, they're all dead because the ship was falling apart. The ship had an accident, Iron Storm, and it was going to crash land. So I went to save my daughter instead of fixing it. So the ship blew up.
Wasn't it a thing where, if I recall, he had a choice between his daughter and his wife?
So no, it was a daughter and the ship, I think.
Yeah.
The wife was... Yeah, you need to start mourning, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, his thing was he blames himself for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, which after that traumatic event, that's understandable. But when people turn up, you should really say, can you give us a lift on, girl? Get a space Uber. Himself.
Yeah, I don't understand why he didn't do the lift. Mm. Like, even if you blamed yourself, just go home.
Exactly. It's more reason to be reasonable.
And didn't they find out that, you know, it wasn't his fault really anyway? You know, it couldn't have been helped?
No, I don't think it's like text, but basically Archer and Trip are like, it's not your fault this shit happens. You can't just blame yourself. I don't think that's like the whole piece of paper.
Okay, fair enough. Show you how much I was paying attention to the episode.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if he was even sure that was his fault, but, you know, I'm sorry you went through that, Odo, Ezra. Oh.
Yeah. That pretty much sums up this episode.
Yeah, it's like eventually they decide to go home, Trip kiss. Nothing happens. It's an episode where nothing happens.
Yeah. So what I've done, I've decided to give this episode an ending.
Let's go, Terry.
Oh, God.
So essentially, at the end of the episode, we see them repairing the ship. You actually don't see the ship lift off and go back home. What I think happens is Enterprise goes off triumphantly, you know, it's been a long road. And back on the ship, you have the Borg Queen excited to, like, finally go home and see all the people. And then the camera pans to Odo. And he just basically says, we're here forever. And turns all the holograms off. And the lights go off. Credits.
That's a bit noncy.
We're here forever. I knew it was going to go dark, and I was just in fear for your
evidence. I thought you were going to have they got back to their home planet and it'd be taken over by the Borg.
No, I could imagine him just crashing the ship, honestly. Mine was going to be it's even like, darker. You know, he recrashes the ship and says, fuck it.
No, he basically like says, yeah. You know, he's gone full on bloody, I don't know. But yeah, they're never leaving that planet.
I honestly believe that.
Proper Prospero.
I believe that, and it would be more interesting if that had happened.
Because it's this thing where they want to do the Tempest or Forbidden Planet or whatever you want to do it. They want to do that. And
they've already done it, though. That's the problem.
They've done it twice, three times. No, yeah. Wait, they've done it one, two, three. This is the third time of four they do the Tempest.
And the thing is,
there's only so many times you can do Shakespeare.
I don't understand why this the writers are so tired when it comes to Enterprise. This is season one.
Yeah, but it was a lot of writers who came from Voyager, so they've just been at it constantly.
Why didn't they get new writers then?
Exactly.
That's exactly my point. I don't understand why we had to stick with the same exhausted people.
What should have happened is they should have took a year off. Yeah, no, they should have. And I think they wanted to be fair. I think, you know, Birmingham and Braga, they wanted to have at least a year or 18 months break between the ending of Voyager and the beginning of Enterprise. But the studio was like, lol, no, we want this show to come on 3 months after Voyager finishes.
So we can blame Paramount for this.
Yeah, it's always Paramount. You know, there's a lot to blame Paramount for, considering international distribution at the moment.
It's honestly hilarious at this point.
Like, did you see the interviews at the red carpet premiere where Kurtz was like, yeah, there's literally nothing I can do about it?
Yeah, and you know, he actually seemed
quietly quite irritated. We want people to watch it.
Losing him so much money and viewership. They're losing themselves money and viewership. It's absurd, but it's clearly like coming from, you know, beyond any.
Yeah, people literally want to pay to watch this, and you're denying them it. It makes literally no sense. I thought you were supposed to be all capitalists over there.
I have beef with everyone: the lawyers, the social media interns, the content team, the marketing team.
I feel sorry for the social media team.
It's all shambles. You're all in the way.
I feel like the social media team don't get a choice about even like the restrictions. So like, can we show this everywhere? The Paramount lawyer,
the manager of the social media team that has to post that little paragraph every time, where it's supposed to be like exalting, yay, we have all these shows and these new locations, but it's really just a reminder that it's not a half of the world. So I'm sorry, you get the smoke too. Anyway,
but not that any of us will be watching it next week anyway.
Oh no, of course not.
I can't confirm that no one in this room will obviously be watching Strange New Worlds, who obviously definitely illegal means.
And no one in this call has definitely already watched it.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely. That would be absurd. Absolutely. Anyway, make sure you read you check out Trek Call's reviews of Strange New Worlds.
Great content.
They got a great writer to do those.
He's quite exceptional, to be fair.
That's what I call it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Lindy. It's just good business. Or in your case, bad business. Do we want to look at the trivia?
Oh, please. If the trivia has even something mildly interesting, it's safe.
I just want to know one thing. Did the writers cast René Auberjonois on purpose, knowing that he was in a DS9 episode which had basically the same plot?
They didn't do it on purpose. Audubon noticed the similarities and didn't consider it and told Scott Bakula, we'd done this before. And they just kind of went, oh. And then Auberjonois commented, that was not really a put down, but when you've done that many years of writing stories, there will be recurring themes.
Didn't have to be.
René, God rest your soul, this is not a recurring theme. This is the same plot.
Yeah, did not have to be this way. Less gatekeeping in the writer's room. Maybe you would have had a fifth season in Enterprise.
When questioning what Ezra, Odo, would do about the daughter, Liana, if she was going to get hurt, Trip makes a suggestion that he might make a programmable holographic doctor, which is, of course, a reference to your boy, the Doctor.
Okay, I did write that down. That was fun.
I groaned at that. You know, the first season, that's the one thing that does me about the first season of Enterprise, especially when they just do these wink, wink, nod, nod things.
I liked that one.
It
was cute. So mean.
Yes, and?
Yeah, we knew Terry was like this.
It was like my one nice thing about the app. What else?
Brandon Braga called it a terrible episode.
Good on you, Braga. I'm a big defender of Brandon Braga. I think he's a fine writer. You know, I think he's not a showrunner, but he's a great writer. And I actually wouldn't mind him back on Trek just to give it a go on one of the new shows.
Yeah, I think he's a much better writer than he is showrunner.
Yeah.
For some reason, this episode is rated 3 out of 5 by Star Trek Magazine.
No comment.
It's just... It doesn't need to be. It's not very good. It's a testament to how nonsense this episode is.
Again, the best I can say of it is that at the very best, it is just there. You know, this isn't, you know, even if you say 3 out of 5 is average, it's like, no.
It's not.
You know, I.
But to be fair, something can be so boring that you just get confused and you don't know how you feel about it. And maybe I'm saying that from very recent experience.
It's just. How are you just tired 20 episodes in? Even Voyager had some energy into like season 3 and then came up with it. It's just how, you know, they wanted to do the first season of Enterprise as them building the Enterprise.
Like
about how difficult it would be to build a starship. And I just think they should have done that.
I don't think
they should have done that. That wouldn't have been good for an entire season arc, especially when you've got 26 episodes. If it's like a 5-episode beginning, let's be honest here. The one shame about Enterprise being cancelled in season 4 was they got the balance right. And I think that is how you should actually do Star Trek, is have a mixture of both standalone and mini arcs. So, you know, you can have like your short stories and your longer, more involved stories. And I thought Enterprise got that spot on, then it got cancelled and still pissed me off to this day. You can actually read, people can actually go onto the Trek BBS and read my upset post when Enterprise got cancelled. Just look for Darth Yoda, Darth_Yoda.
Always archive.
We have archival Terry content, everyone. We're gonna do a reading. You know what? We should do a reading.
A live reading on Patreon.
We can do it now.
Oh.
Let's not do it now. We'll do it on Patreon. We'll get actors in.
We're stealing Terry's content.
But it's just, it is a massive shame that Enterprise, you know, we could have gotten a Romulan War arc and all this stuff. And it's just, they just fucked up the first bit so badly that no one was watching. Like season 4 is only that good because the producers didn't give a shit anymore. So they were allowed to do what they wanted.
I'd say, but again, I don't think the first season is bad. It's the second season which tanked the show. That and Nemesis. But, you know, the second season where it was just uninspired for like weeks upon weeks. I think in the period I was talking about, there is, I think, 2 episodes which you can actually say good. And the rest is either hideous or meh. And I can remember watching season 2. And it was just so boring. Then it came out they were going to do the Borg. And oh my God, the people on the internet that day, they just went fucking into a nuclear thing. Says, how dare you do the Borg? This is for ratings, which is all true. But that Borg episode turned out to be the best episode of the second season.
Let's have a look at the Enterprise season 2, right? So Shockwave, Carbon Creek.
Right.
Good.
Right. Hi, Aunt.
Minefield. Good.
Right.
Great. Dead Stop.
One of the best episodes of the entire series. I love that episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
A Night in Sick Bay. Trash.
That was upsetting.
Marauders.
Which one's Marauders?
I think that's the Magnificent Seven one.
That's actually all right. I like
that. That was all right. The Seventh. Yeah. That's the one with the Vulcan. Yes, by the Vulcan who came in from the cold. Shit. The Communicator.
Shit.
Singularity.
Meh.
Which one's that?
And they've already done that plot many, many times before.
Which one
sounds like Voyager? What's that one?
That's the one where they, I think that's the one where they all, it's like Naked Now, where people just.
Oh, yeah, that's the Naked Now one. Yeah, they all get a bit weird. Vanishing Point.
Oh, that's terrible. That's one of the worst episodes of Star Trek, full stop.
Precious Cargo.
That is the other worst episode.
That's one, that one was so bad that that John Billingsley refused to talk about it to us.
Yes, if you haven't seen our Billingsley episode, which was worrying me early on in our Quick Star Trek
journey. Yeah, I think we peaked with Billingsley. I'm sorry. I know this is episode 73. We peaked in episode 8, everyone.
I think you peaked with episode 2, to be honest.
Fuck off, Terry. So, what's it? So, Precious, the catwalk.
That's actually a decent one. That's actually one of the few decent ones in that. Yeah.
Dawn, shit.
Yeah. Oh, that's like the enemy mine, that is.
Yeah. Yeah, which, no, fuck off. Stigma.
Oh, no. They tried.
They tried.
Yeah, I think they tried, but it's terrible.
Ceasefire, great.
Very good. Yeah. That's two so far.
Future Tense, shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Everybody
Canamar,
yeah. Shit.
Shit. The Crossing, shit.
Shit.
Judgment.
That's actually good.
That's good. Horizon is good, but only for Malcolm content. Only for Travis content. It's the only. It's the one when Travis goes home.
Oh god.
It's good because Travis is in it a lot, but that's it.
Do we see Travis's family?
Yeah, his brother sucks.
Oh. I was about to get excited. I think
no, his mum's really nice. You should watch it. You should watch it.
I'll watch it, but.
Well, so we're at, we've done Horizon. The Breach.
Which one's The Breach?
The Breach is the one with the Denobulan scientists. The one where they where Malcolm goes, they have to go like
that spelunking. One's actually, yeah.
That right. One's good.
That one's good, but again, that is exactly the same plot when Worf and that Romulan, when Worf refused to
the treat enemy. Romulan. I don't think it's the same plot. I think that's fine. It's just reusing all ideas. Cogenitors next.
Oh, dear Lord, save us.
Then it's Regeneration.
Which is very good. And then after that, it's actually okay for the rest of the season.
Regeneration, First Flight, Bounty, The Expanse. Yeah, those are fine.
Yeah. So how many episodes between Marauders and Regeneration?
Sixteen.
17 episodes. So, to my count, that was three that you could actually call was genuinely good. So can you imagine, you know, I know many people have said of this season Discovery Picard where it has dragged, and yet it has, you know, the episodes have been dragging to get to the conclusion. But imagine, and it wasn't even 16 weeks back in the day, because you also had pauses in the seasons where, you know, they would wait several weeks to get to whatever they did in the US. Yeah. That was bad.
Yeah.
13 episodes of terrible Star Trek at once.
Even Picard hasn't been that bad. Even season one.
I love season one. I thought it was a masterpiece.
Oh my gosh.
I actually really like season two, apart from like the middle of it. But oh my god, it was that second season was rough. It was really, really rough.
Of Picard?
No, Enterprise.
Right. I was gonna say, you're speaking like it's over. It's not over yet. We'll have a wonderful conclusion.
So I mean, is this interesting enough to quit?
Oh my gosh.
It is interesting enough that you'll be so bored from this episode, you'll forget to quit at the end of it. He says, I am going to quit. When the episode finishes, you'll be like, I forgot what I was going to do now.
If only you really need a feature. Dose of amnesia, maybe the day's been stressful, you watch this episode, and you fall into a sort of blank space and a void. So it's actually
like white noise.
Yeah. So
you called it a white noise episode, Terry. It's
yeah.
This is why people watch shit like Vampire Diaries.
Well, CSI as well.
How dare you? Okay.
CSI, Vampire Diaries, Voyager.
Vampire Diaries fans, get them. Attack. I don't really know how.
Oh, come on. You guys don't leave your houses. Fuck off.
I really tried to watch that for our new cut.
No. It's not worth it. It's just nothing. it's the rot that sets in Voyager, where they just aren't interested in new different writers.
And again, in the defense of, I'm not going to say in defense of Burma, but in defense of the production team, again, the studio wanted Voyager to be a certain way. They wanted the cookie cutter show. And that did carry over to Enterprise as well. You know, they had that anecdote where they wanted a band in the mess hall, a different band in the mess hall, because Buffy did something like that back in the day.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I want to see the chaos timeline where these things happened.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. You know, you wouldn't forget about it, to be fair. But, you know, the more you delve into Enterprise, the more you think, I don't think that show really ever had a chance. Now, to be fair, it got 4 seasons, which is 4 seasons when a lot of shows get. But still, you know, I remember reading in Star Trek magazine back in 2001, 2002, and they had an interview with Anthony Montgomery, I think it was, one of the casts of Enterprise anyway. And at the beginning, they said, about Enterprise, it was something along the lines of, you know, one of the, what was it? It's basically one of the surest things in Hollywood is getting a Star Trek gig, because you'll get a guaranteed 7 years.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This is sad. This is why it's so hard to progress. Having gotten through half the series, having seen the finale,
the final season is fantastic. It really is. It's one of the strongest seasons of Star Trek, you know, in my opinion.
It falls at the last hurdle, but it's strong.
Well, you know, there is a reason why nobody considers that episode the finale.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do a season 4 live tweet. Maybe that'll be my next.
The thing is, yeah. You don't even need to start with the first 2 episodes, really. Just start from the 3rd episode, where they just wrap everything up, you know, from the 3rd season, and then on you go.
Yeah, there's some Vulcan stuff. Shran's there.
And Evil Soon.
Okay, but Evil the thing Soon. Is, every time I see Shran, I'm just upset that he's not in more episodes. See?
Yeah, but he's in 3 whole episodes.
Lost potential.
He's in three. No, he's in three. Yeah, no, he's in 3 whole episodes. That.
No, wait a second. 1, 2. He's in 5.
I'll take 3. What I can get.
He's in the Vulcan arc, and then he's in the Andorian arc.
Yeah, he's in the Vulcan arc, and he's in the United one, the Babel arc.
Yeah,
he's in 5 episodes in this season.
Well, 6 if you can count the finale, but you know we don't.
Oh no! What was that?
You've seen it. He's in the finale.
Oh.
Anyway, are we going to tripnip this episode? Is it tripnippable?
Wait, no, let's all take a moment. What? You know what? T'Pol even mentioning unexpected is cursed. But it's
it's an immediate 5.
So we can't give it none if it was present in the episode. You know what? Yeah, I am going to give it 5.
I'm going to give it 5 too. Terry?
Make it more interesting.
I'll give it 4.5.
Don't screw up my math like
so
that.
So contrary, actually, no, it has to be a
spreadsheet.
Half.
And because you said 4.5, Terry, I have to actually put it through the spreadsheet.
Okay, 4.75.
That's worse!
4.75.
You know what, Terry, we have 4.916 recurring nipples.
There you go.
I hope you're happy.
I'm delighted.
Now, Terry, would you like to induct... Eddie, would you like to take part in Olivia's new segment? Olivia, tell Terry about your new segment.
My brilliant new segment is having our guests try and induct some episodes into the Hall of Fame. So obviously my key Hall of Fame episodes are, you know, Masks, Spock's Brain, Arena. You know, these are the high art episodes of Star Trek. So let's see if we have any in common. And I've never felt less hope for a pairing. Let's go.
High art episodes, Terry.
High art. And I will not be object, like be objective. It is.
There will be no objectiveness.
Well, so this is me giving me my high art episodes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what are your faves? And I swear to God, if I had Diplodocus is in it.
Sub Rosa, first of all, brilliant. Defend it to the death.
Is it high art, Olivia? Is it high art?
It's on a Scott. Not high art.
No!
High cursed. It is high cursed. And it is interesting to witness such terrors. But I refuse to have that beside my beautiful children.
I need to think of the episode title. Just bear with me.
Which one is it?
No problem.
I'll say the episode. Just so.
See, I know he's googling it, but I'm actually Terry rifling through like a magazine, like an old an old issue of Radio Times looking for an episode.
Oh yeah. Till death do us to part.
Who the hell? What is that? Don't tell me it's... No.
Dukat and Kai win.
I knew it was going to be Dukat. Okay.
Dukat and Kai win. That's a good...
Is that the one where they're clearly fucking? Damn. Oh, I didn't even Google it. Like, I just... Like, suppressed memories came to my mind and just ruined my day. So obviously no. Obviously, I don't want to see that.
It's going in the high art list.
No, right, okay. You can't veto my list. Okay.
I've got one more, and it will do because it is high art. And actually, Olivia posted a screenshot or retweeted a picture of the screenshot earlier with a bunch of sperms in it. And it's the episode of season 5 of Voyager, which is my favorite episode of Voyager. Someone to watch over me.
I can't believe that's a real screenshot is what happened there. I retweeted it saying, ain't no way. I can show
honestly,
you it here.
It is.
That happened. Can you see the little sperm?
Oh, that episode. That episode is high art. That is high art.
I mean, yeah, I can hold out the hope for it to be high art to the best.
What's the episode? You would love that. It's my favorite episode. It's the only episode of Star where I can actually say it's sweet.
I don't want it to be sweet. I don't want it to be sweet after seeing that. Don't try and make this wholesome. Why is it a giant egg? What are you going to spawn? I'm terrified.
He's right, basically, without spoiling it, he's basically teaching Seven dating. He's giving Seven dating advice.
Oh, dear Lord. No. It might be in the high art list, like in a masked way. That's so fine. I'll give you half a point.
Hooray! That's half an hour I was expecting.
Hurrah! Victory at last. And while we contemplate the horrifying fact that Olivia might have to watch a Voyager episode, do you have anything to plug to the listeners, Terry? Anything at all?
No. I think most people know where they can find me just ranting and raving. I'm being really bitter on Twitter at the moment. I need to take a break. But tell the Trekkie, you know where that is. I'm currently on hiatus with my comic account, Trek Comic WTF, but I will be coming back to it soon.
Do we need to do a comics episode? Because the comics are nuts.
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to do today. But as I've not been, because I've not been reading the comics that much at the moment, because I've got stuff going on and, indoors. But I will be getting back to that account soon enough.
I'm just now noticing that I haven't been harassed via comic strip for a long time. So, yeah.
It's a great account.
It's the best.
And if you want to harass us, you can find us at Quit Star Trek Pod. Thank you to everyone who's recently been telling us what episodes they want to do, who they want on. I am going to, at some point next week, sort a new spreadsheet of guests, because I'll be honest, it's a mess. We're both busy people. We don't keep track of things. We're very sorry. So I'm going to sort it. We're going to have a system, I promise.
Make a shout out to Anthony, who actually tweeted literally an hour after Olivia asked me to come on this week.
For some reason, people want Terry on the podcast. And for some reason, those people include us.
I'm a draw.
I... Well, Leo, Anthony, for you to give him this confidence, you're cancelled.
Oh, hey, don't. He's a fellow Palace supporter. He's sound.
Yeah, fair enough. Don't touch him, Olivia.
Too late. You're over.
Yeah, but thanks, Terry. Thank you for coming and bringing us some more Enterprise content. It's and congrats on becoming I was going to come up with a word for what it was, but there's no word to describe how I feel about this episode because it did not evoke any feelings from me. So yeah. It just simply was.
Wait, this is perfect. Was this the Keir Starmer of episodes?
Oh my God.
Was this?
It did this nothing.
This is poetic suddenly.
This is poetic. Terry, you brought us a Keir Starmer. How do you feel?
This, I am delighted that Oasis is now known as the Keith of Star Trek.
The Keith of Star Trek. It's tragic.
Beautiful.
You bring us the Keith of Star Trek on the 25th anniversary of the 1997 election.
Oh, no.
Hey, Terry. Things can only get better.
They can't get much fucking worse.
Oh, no.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.